The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there's a God-given design for its study. Rightly divided, the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for an interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join him now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will be a rich blessing and help to you. We gather together here each week at this time on this station for the purpose of studying God's Word. We don't want to just study. We're not interested in what the Bible is presumed to teach. We want to know what it actually says. We study for that purpose God's Word dispensationally. Our purpose, our hope, our desire is to help you to understand and enjoy the Bible so God's Word can go to work in your life because you believe it. You never believe something you don't understand. And so we want you to understand God's Word. That's why we study together. I hope if you haven't become a regular attendee to our weekly Bible class here, that you'll mark down on the calendar where we are, the date, the time, the station, and join us each week. You know, we hear from our viewers. And it's just a real thrill to us to be able to talk to you and to hear from folks who are learning, getting light from God's Word and blessing from God's Word. Just a couple of days ago, we had a gathering of folks in a city where we've been broadcasting for some time. And a lady came to me, her daughter brought her. She says, you know, Brother Jordan, I brought my mom. She's sick and she didn't get out of the house very much anymore. But she wanted to come tonight. She said, I got to go meet Brother Rick. And she came and she hugged my neck. She says, Brother Jordan, your wife's standing here, but right in front of her, I'm going to hug your neck. And she said, you know, I've been watching you. And you're the first person, and I'm not the only person, I understand that, just the first one she heard on the television that was saying the things I had begun to understand in God's Word. She said, I've been reading my Bible and it didn't agree with what was going on at church. And I went to church and they said, well, you better quit reading that. And she said, I decided I was just going to stick by my Bible and let the church go its way. And she said, I was watching the TV and there you were drawing on the chalkboard and you were saying some things about the grace of God and about the ministry of the Apostle Paul and about rightly dividing the Word. She said, things that I had come to see on my own. Amazing, isn't it? You know why she could see it? Because it's what God's Word says. Somebody says, well, I don't see it. Well, maybe you didn't look at the verses and weren't willing to believe the verses. You see, God's revealed it to everybody. It's in the pages of His Word. The people who embrace it are the people who are willing to search out God's Word for the details and then believe them no matter who they contradict or disagree with. And that's our goal here. We're trying to study God's Word and understand, appreciate the plan, the purpose, the program that God has as is revealed in His Word. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been studying the plan of redemption that God has for the nation Israel, His earthly people, and the plan that He has to redeem them and to make them the instrument and agency that He intends them to be in the earth. And that plan of redemption is in Leviticus chapter 23. It's a calendar of redemption. Annually, the nation Israel had certain feast days, certain festivals, certain holidays. I'm going to get the chalkboard out while I talk. Certain holidays that memorialized the seven steps in God's plan of redemption for them. It started out, of course, with the Passover, and we've talked about that. When Israel's plan of redemption began, it began with the Passover. And the Passover, Paul says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Passover was a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do on the cross when Jesus Christ was made sin for you and for me. That blood back there in Exodus 12, it says it's given on the doorpost for Israel as a token. You see, God was educating Israel from day one. What did they do? The death angel's coming. Judgment's coming. They were to go out and select that lamb, watch it. On the night of the 14th, they were to kill it. They were to put the blood on the doorpost. And they were to get in the house and stay in the house, not go out of the house, not count the blood on the doorpost an unholy thing by going out. They were to stay in the house, and that blood was a token. It was an outward expression of the faith that they had. And God dealt with Israel that way all through the Bible. And He's educating Israel from day one of their redemption that there's going to be some outward expression of their faith that was required. And that God was going to honor that faith when they did it. And so Christ our Passover. Then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They went out and they took all the leaven out and got rid of all of the leaven. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a picture of the fact that Jesus Christ at Calvary put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And His burial, when Jesus Christ was buried in the ground. Acts chapter 2, quoting David, King David, Peter says that he would not let his body see corruption. Jesus Christ didn't die physically because He had sin. He didn't have a sin nature. In fact, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died as no other person, no other human has ever died. He didn't die because sin took its course. On that cross, when the sun went dark and darkness covered the earth, and Jesus Christ cried out, "My God, God the Father, my God, God the Son, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's a quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 3, He answers the cry. He says, "For Thou art holy." It was in those hours, those dark hours in the midst of when time stood still and all of the ways you tell time with the sun and so forth stood still. And it was as though eternity was present on earth. Then in that timeless moment, the eternal Son of God took your sin and my sin, the sin of all mankind. And God made His soul an offering for sin. And Jesus Christ suffered in His soul the transformation that the Bible calls the second death. But He didn't just die that death. He did die that as the wages of sin, paying completely and fully once and for all. He died once unto sin, Paul says. But He also had to die physically. But His body didn't have a sin nature that would cause it to die. So the Bible says that He bowed His head. He cried, lifted up His head and cried, "It's finished!" And then He bowed His head. And Father said, "Into Thy hand I commend my spirit." And He gave up the ghost. He did something you can't do. He dismissed His spirit and He chose to die. He died of His own self-will. He gave Himself for you, even in physical death. You ride down the street and you see a cemetery. Down south, we always call them skull orchards. People get mad at me when I say that, and I don't mean to offend you. I have a mom and a dad and a two-day-old sister in a cemetery, their body, their souls in heaven. So I'm not trying to be unkind about it. But what that is a testament to death, to sin, and the wages of sin, which is death. That's reason people die, except the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to dismiss His spirit. He had hung on that cross and never died had He not chosen. So when they buried His body, there was no corruption. It was unleavened. And then He was resurrected. The first fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. So you have Passover, you have the unleavened bread, and then you have first fruits. Then there's a period of time from here, 49 days. And then there's the next event is called Pentecost. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter number 2, when it's fulfilled. Notice, the crucifixion of Christ fulfilled Passover. Exact day. The burial of Christ fulfills unleavened bread. The first fruits, the resurrection of Christ, fulfills that. And then Acts chapter number 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's the fulfillment. The day of Pentecost in Acts 2 is the fulfillment of a Jewish festival. It's part of Israel's redemptive plan and program. And I want you to notice in verse number 15 what Leviticus says about the day of Pentecost. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So what they're going to do now is they're going to offer a new meat offering, a new sacrifice. Now, the meat offering, it's not meat like red meat or the other white meat, that kind of stuff. It's not like flesh in the sense of an animal. It's really grain. If you eat an apple, you have the skin of the apple, the core of the apple, and the meat of the apple. That's the part of the apple you eat. If you harvest grain, you have the chaff, the husk, and then the meat, the seed part, the edible part. We call it meat. And whether it's animal meat or it's meat of the fruit of an apple or that kind of thing. Well, in this case, this is grain, and you know that because he says you should bring, at verse 17, out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So obviously we're talking about something baked out of flour. Now, when Jesus Christ is resurrected, he ascends into heaven. And the type back there is he takes the wave sheaves and he offers them for the Lord as a memorial of his resurrection. But now what's happening is that the harvest has come. They actually make flour. This is not just the individual stalks. Now they've made flour and they've baked two loaves of bread. And they're going to offer a new meal offering. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He said, this is the blood of the what? New Testament. The Old Testament is back here. Matthew to John, back here, prior to the cross, is really the Old Testament. Because Hebrews chapter 9, verse 17, and write that verse down. Hebrews 9:17, write it down. Hebrews 9:17 says that a testament is of force after the death of the testator. So the New Testament could not possibly have begun at the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It could not have begun until after the crucifixion of Christ. Why? Because Hebrews 9:17 says that a testament is of force after the death of the testator, and the testator doesn't die till the cross work at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now that means, practically speaking, that a fellow recently told me, he said, my church was established, my church was founded by John the Baptist. And I attend a New Testament church founded by John the Baptist. And I asked him, I said, how do you get a New Testament church out of the Old Testament? Well, that's his problem, not mine. He says, well, John's not in the Old Testament, but Hebrews 9:17 says he is. Write that verse down. Now, who do you think's right? Some preacher that says John the Baptist is founded a New Testament church, or Hebrews 9:17 that says the New Testament didn't take place till after the cross. Who do you think's right? That's a rhetorical question. Hebrews 9:17's right, no matter what you or I or anybody else think about it. Amen. Better write that verse down, Hebrews 9:17. You're going to need that one. That verse all by itself might change where you go to church. Might make you like that lady I was talking about that told me the other day. She quit going to church because she got tired of people not believing the Bible at church. Oh, well, they were saying they did. But she was reading it for herself and finding out that they didn't really believe it when she asked about what it actually said. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt. Got the tennis shoes. Got the shorts. The shorts because I had to cut the legs off because it got holes in the knees. I know what that's about. Passover. Pentecost. You know what's going on there? We're going to inaugurate a new meal offering. We're going to replace this old thing back here with something new coming on the scene. And notice it's got two loaves. Now, I know what people say. They say, well, that's Jew and Gentile going to be put together. But it didn't say there's one loaf, did it? There's not any way that what's going on in the day of Pentecost is the body of Christ. You know what's going on the day of Pentecost? It's the nation Israel. It's Israel's Jewish feast day. You say, well, what are the two loaves? Don't you know that there are two houses of Israel? And Ezekiel chapter 37 says he's going to take those two sticks, those two houses of Israel, and make them what? Bring them back together and make them one again. There are two ways you know that's not the body of Christ, by just reading it. Three ways, really. Number one, he says there are two loaves. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10 verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 17. Talking about the body of Christ. For we being many are what? One bread and one body. We're not two loaves, we're one. Any questions? You know the difference between two and one? Then you got it. That's not the body of Christ in Leviticus. That's two loaves. That's two houses of Israel. And it says, bake it with leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. How many people in the body of Christ that don't have the Spirit of God? None. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Everybody in the body of Christ are saved people. You think the Spirit of God doesn't know who are His? When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, exclusively rely upon Him to be the Savior He died for you to be, God the Holy Spirit takes you because you believed in Christ and baptizes you into one body, and then He seals you there with His own presence. And Ephesians 4:30 says you are sealed until the day of redemption. You say, what's that, Brother Rick? Romans 8:23 says the redemption of our bodies, that is the redemption of the purchased possession, that's the resurrection. There's no leaven. There's no lost people in the body of Christ. In that lump, these loaves back here, there are some lost people, aren't there? There are some leaven. You say, but why is that? Well, folks, didn't you read over there in Hebrews chapter 3? Look at Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. You see, there's some explanations back here in these passages in Leviticus for some of the hard stuff that people have when they come to a place like Hebrews chapter 3, because they're thinking Hebrews 3 is something that it's not. This is Israel's program, and it fits perfectly. Just like a hand in a glove. To try to make Leviticus 23 the body of Christ, or to try to make Pentecost the body of Christ, that's like trying to put a sock on a chicken's foot. It just don't work. But it's like a hand in a ready-made glove. You know what Johnny said? If it don't fit, you must have quit. Well, Pentecost don't fit, but Hebrews does. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6. But Christ is a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 14, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And there are some folks that don't. Chapter 6, verse number 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves afresh the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. There's the nation Israel, and there's some people in that nation who've experienced the Pentecost. At Pentecost, the powers of the world to come, they experienced all these things in Israel. And He said, if they fall away, there's no place else to go. If we sin willfully, Hebrews 10 says, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sin. The only place sin's going to be put away is there. Why? Because God's got a new meal offering here, and the cross is the only place. There's this new and living way. And if you try to go any other way, you try to go back to that old stuff over there, there's no sacrifice it's going to do for sin. You see, what's taking place here in Leviticus 23 is exactly what took place in the day of Pentecost. Leviticus 23, verse 20, the priest shall wave them, that is the two loaves, with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. You know what's happening on the day of Pentecost? There's the first fruits of the nation Israel being prepared that's going to go. Trumpets, the regathering of Israel, atonement, the second coming of Christ, the redemption of Israel. Do it like that. Tabernacles, the kingdom. The first coming, preparing the remnant for the second coming. Now, you and I aren't in there. You and I are a parenthesis that was a secret. And the only place you can find yourself in Leviticus is in the gap that doesn't have anything in it. Because you're not in Leviticus. Now, we look back now and we see all that. And we know God had us in mind all along. But you're not in it in the text. Come with me to Acts chapter number 2 and James chapter number 1 and Revelation chapter 14. Acts 2 and James 1 and Revelation 14. That thing at Pentecost is the first fruits unto the Lord. What is that? James chapter 1 verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us of the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There's that little flock in the nation here, the believing remnant in the nation. Revelation chapter number 14, looking to that future day, the tribulation. Revelation 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and unto him with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harps, and harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song. Here comes the new meal offering. Before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They were redeemed from among men, and being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That first fruit offering back here at Pentecost is a picture. When it comes to Pentecost to be fulfilled, it's the establishing of that little flock and that godly remnant that's going to go through that tribulation like the 144,000 over here and be the basis of his kingdom over there. They are the believing remnant in Israel. Now come back with me to Acts chapter 2 and get Acts chapter 2 verse number 16 in one hand and Ephesians chapter number 3. Acts 2 and Ephesians 3. Acts 2 verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Israel, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. Notice this is not the first days of anything. It's the last days. Not the birthday of the body of Christ. It's not the first days of the church of the body of Christ. It's the last days of the church of Israel. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The pouring out of this Holy Spirit of the day of Pentecost, he says, this is that which is spoken by Joel the prophet. Joel prophesied about the events on the day of Pentecost. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 3. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. What's going on in the body of Christ was not known by Joel. If Joel knew about Pentecost and he didn't know about this, then they aren't the same thing. You know how I know that? I can read. What a concept. Go back to Acts chapter number 3. Try Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 21. Peter's talking, and he says, "For whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." What's going on here at Pentecost is what God has been prophesying about, talking about, and making known since the world began. Look at Romans 16:25. Paul says he's preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You better write those verses down, Acts 3:21, Romans 16:25. You better check them out. Because something that was made known since the foundation, since the world began, and something that was kept secret since the world began, aren't the same. You know how I know? I can read. What a concept. Try again. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. He says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, be this known unto you." Verse number 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly." Who's he talking about to back here? He's talking about Israel, and he purposely excludes everybody else. You know what Paul says in here? In here he says there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, but through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles. You can't have a program where Israel is the issue and then Israel's not the issue. A program where Israel's the issue and a program where Israel's not the issue are not the same. You know how I know? I can read. And reading God's Word is what makes the difference. That's why we encourage you to get in God's Word, study it for yourself, and let it be your absolute final authority. I want to tell you thanks for listening. We're honored to have you with us. Week after week, I hope you make it a point to be with us each week at this time. So until we meet again next week, either on the air or in the air, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thank you for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. If you prefer, you may also call 586-778-5032. To get the correct tape, just let us know the date you saw the program. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.
He took the blame, and then I cry, what wonderful grace, what wonderful grace. He did it all, oh praise His name.